and welcome to Modern Makers, where we explore arts, crafts, technology, and entrepreneurship. I'm your host, Julia Griffey.
We're talking to Megan Goldkamp of Megan Goldkamp Jewelry, based in St. Louis, Missouri. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Thank you for joining us. So tell us a little bit about your jewelry line and when you started the business and how you got started.
So I started probably in 2009. But it's evolved quite a bit over the years. And in probably about 2010, I started doing hand-engraved writing. So like people's either signatures or handwriting from old cards and things like that.
How did you get started? What was your first platform? Were you selling in local shops or Etsy?
So I've only really ever done online sales through Etsy. I've tried working with shops, but I like the control of running my own business. And I feel like Etsy is a good platform to really get your things out there in the easiest way possible.
Isn't a lot of the stuff that you do custom?
So it is, yeah.
I guess you just sell it with the idea that, like, you send me this stuff and I'll customize it for you.
Oh, exactly, yeah. And I try to make that as clear as I can on the listing. Though I do have people who want to buy the things with other people's writing, which is funny to me. But yeah, and I think that Etsy is conducive to that because their messaging system is really easy to use.
Right.
And you can attach like Word documents or things, but you can attach pictures really easily. And I've noticed that because I have customers of all ages that almost everybody, even if you just give them like a little tutorial on how to use it, can catch on quickly.
How would you describe your jewelry and your aesthetic?
I would say my aesthetic has always been very simple and classic, the kind of jewelry that you would wear on an everyday basis. And it's especially relevant since they're generally things with like a pretty sentimental meaning, that it's something somebody would want to wear every day.
Mm-hmm. And so is it gold or silver?
Correct, yeah. And that's more from the aspect of engraving-wise. Since you're cutting pretty deep into the metal, you can't really use any kind of plated things, or mm-hmm. it would crack or just not look very nice.
Is there a lot of competition for what you do on Etsy, do you think?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. There wasn't at the beginning at all. So I don't want to say get away with because that's not the right term, but so I was able to have a longer production window at the beginning. Like, people would be willing to wait a week to 2 weeks, but 2 years ago, there was a lot of competition from factories in China, and the only way that I can get those customers is to be able to offer it quickly, since they have to have a long period of time mm-hmm. for it to even get here.
Yeah, I've heard about that on Etsy, that like there are Chinese and Indian companies
yeah.
that are just knocking everything off.
Exactly, and Etsy doesn't care, so
yeah.
That's the only bad part.
So how did you get into engraving? Where did this idea come from?
So I took a 3-month jewelry making program in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
I was living in Los Angeles at the time, and during that program we learned, you know, a lot of repair things and stone setting, and so I've tried my hand at everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we learned, well, we did 1 week of engraving there, and I was terrible at it, because it's the kind of thing that you really have to practice, like, over and over again to even, like, kind of get it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the only thing I've wanted to stick with, because there are so many facets of jewelry, but for some reason it's very satisfying to me, and I really enjoy antique jewelry myself, and almost all of it's engraved, at least the eras that I like, and
right.
Hopefully one day I can get to the point where I'm able to recreate things like that.
Right.
But it's just a work in progress.
Well, did you go to this class in Virginia with the idea that you were going to start a jewelry business?
Yes.
You did?
I didn't know what I would be making, though. I just knew that it was a field that I enjoyed. I liked creating things, and I'm not a painter or, you know, an artist in that way, which I wish I could be, but it's just my skill set is more towards fabricating things.
What was your educational background? What you mean to go?
I went to college for theater.
Uh-huh.
And then when I was living out in Los Angeles, nothing was really fitting, like, job-wise for what I wanted to do. So then at a certain point, I just decided, well, I've always liked making things, and I tried one or two classes out there that I really enjoyed, but you couldn't get very deep into
mm-hmm.
anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned best by someone teaching me, not just trial and error. So that's why I went to Virginia to learn all the facets.
And do you run the business full time, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
My interest and the whole purpose of this podcast is about technology and how these businesses could not have happened necessarily 10 or 15 years ago.
Oh,
do
sure.
you believe that? And would any of your success have been possible?
No.
Really?
For so many reasons.
Really? So can you speak to that?
Yeah. So I think about it all the time because I remember when I was in high school, so that was like 2000, trying to get photos, like real photos, and you had to go to the mall and get them scanned and then put on that big, you know, zip disk or whatever. So that aspect alone, people sending me their photos,
right,
would never be possible.
Right.
That's one part that, like, at least the older generation that I work with, because there are a lot of older clients that they're still not very comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
They always want to send the item, but these are like keepsake items usually, like the only thing they have for someone. So that technology aspect alone of just taking a picture with your phone makes it so accessible and easy.
Right.
Not to mention just reaching markets that there's no way anybody would hear of you otherwise. Like, I sell things to Australia all the time, and that would never be possible otherwise.
Yeah. What about in terms of social media? What do you rely on most, and how has social media helped your business?
I am not the greatest social media user, mm-hmm. business-wise.
Uh-huh.
I feel like Pinterest has definitely been my top use, but I don't really necessarily consider that a social media.
Mm-hmm.
But for what I make in particular, it's the kind of thing that most people wouldn't ever think, oh, I wish I could really put this writing on something. Like,
yeah.
But they see it, and they're like, oh my gosh, it's a perfect gift.
Right.
For somebody that is hard to buy for. So I would say Pinterest, of all of them, is the most important for me.
Do you go crazy at the holidays? How do you survive that?
Yes.
Really? Like, what percentage of your business comes in as holiday gifts?
At least 50%.
Really?
So that in itself is a huge, it's been a huge challenge. And I used to have a full-time job for at least 3 years of doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they were flexible with me taking more vacation time at that time, but other times they weren't, and you were just working until 2 a.m. and getting up and going to the regular job. But, and it's also hard from a budgeting standpoint.
Right.
You're making 50% of your income in 1 month. That was a lesson to learn.
Oh, I can imagine. And just predicting, like, I'm sure you have to bring supplies in, so making
exactly.
sure that you're stocked enough for that
of year. I learned that. See, that's also kind of the challenging part is I didn't really know what I was getting into the first year I was doing it.
Right.
And so my suppliers would sell out of everything. And so then I'd have like a super popular item that there was no way I could get until at least February because of Chinese New Year.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess they don't get any supplies for this period of time. I was like, oh my, but I've really gotten much better at that.
That's so funny. Do you sell through any brick and mortar stores? You might have answered this question already. And
I've tried it. It's hard since it's so custom.
Right. And well, in the markup too, you know?
Yeah. I don't mind that, but it's just the communication aspect. I'm not controlling, but I'd much rather talk to the customer myself.
Mm-hmm.
To make sure that they're getting what they expect and want.
Because mm-hmm.
the way that I work now, I lay out a lot of people's items for them, you know, move things around. So if I don't think it looks good, I can very quickly send them a picture, you know, in 5 minutes. And otherwise, you're calling a store saying, can you please send this to them, and relying on them to actually do it.
Right.
Is challenging.
So what is the best success story that you've had? Like, unexpected success due to some type of media that you received?
So, extremely randomly, 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
I got a phone call from somebody who works with Bobby Thomas, who has a segment on the Today Show on, like, Thursdays or Fridays, I think. And apparently her segment producer had seen somebody wearing one of my items, and it was a week before Mother's Day. Mother's Day is another busy time. So she was like, we really want to put it on our Mother's Day show, but we need you to send us 15 items by tomorrow. Can you do it? I was like,
yes, you can.
Yes, I can. Luckily, I was off work for some reason. I don't know why. It's just lucky, but that really helped a lot, and I think it gives a whole lot of credibility to your name, because they can at least, even now, still see the segment online and be like, okay, this person actually exists, and go from there.
Oh, that's awesome. Do you do any shows locally, or do you think that your location and living in St. Louis, which is not a tiny town, but it's not New York City, do you think that, how does that impact your business? Being able to focus on your business, being able to have your own business, local support, connectivity, you know, and support. And do you think it has any impact or significance for you?
I think a ton.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't do any shows now, but when I was living in Los Angeles, I was making different types of items and I would do shows. But the markets there are so different and they're looking for like extremely specific types of items. And the type of item they're looking for is usually made by tons of people. So competition is very strong there. And then when I moved here, since you just have so much more income, you know, just because cost of living is so much cheaper, you're able to try to make different items that you wouldn't have had the time or money to try.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's helped me a lot. I haven't done any shows locally to speak to that aspect, but I feel like just the cost of living aspect makes it super easy to try something that you wouldn't be able to try somewhere else.
Do you think that there is an interest in St. Louis of supporting local brands? Do you think people like to get
them? I agree. Yeah, I definitely do. And I was just, funny enough, I joined this tech shop place downtown.
I know. I know about it.
There's a lot of people there who want to support local businesses, and then they have their own like Facebook group, and they constantly are saying, this local store is looking for local vendors only, you know, all over. So I definitely think that there's a lot more of an interest in supporting and propping up and buying local things, especially among, like, I would say the 20 to 40 age range.
Right. Well, why did you join Tech Shop? Do you need to use the equipment, or are there other advantages?
No, I don't need their equipment yet, but I'm hoping to think of something to need it for.
Yeah.
But I just like the idea of the community.
Yeah.
And meeting people who like creating things, because that's hard to find sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone there is interested.
Yes.
Which is pretty cool.
Yes, I got it. Well, what advice would you give to someone who wanted to start an arts and crafts based business?
I would say don't give up if your first idea doesn't work. You just need to keep trying different things. Because in my experience, at least, the things that didn't catch on at first never caught on. So it's better, in my mind, to come up with a new idea and see how that goes. My thing would be don't give up trying new things or new, not even new ideas, but new ways to.
Right. Well, it was great talking to you.
All right. Well, have a good afternoon.
Thank you, too. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Modern Makers Podcast. This production has been made possible by the Webster University School of Communications, producer Jim Singer, and production assistant Lindsay Schwartz. I'm host Julia Griffey. For more information, visit our website, www.modernmakersproject.com.